present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Sheila Hancock in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. And welcome once again to Just a Minute. And once again, I'm going to ask our four competitors of the game to try and speak for just 1 minute, if they can, on some unlikely subject that I will give them, without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject which is written on the card in front of me. And according to how well they do this, they will gain points, or their opponents will. And if you don't yet know how you play the game, the rest should become obvious as we play it. Sheila Hancock, will you begin the show this week? The subject is frozen food. Can you talk to us about that for just a minute, starting now?
My lifestyle has completely changed since I bought a deep freeze. I recommend them to everybody, particularly if you are a working wife. You can thereby cook a lot of food in advance, put it in the deep freeze, and then you bring it out.
Kenneth Williams has challenged. Why?
Well, why should go? You can get a lot of food and put it. Why do you talk naturally all
it's
that?
It's the same reason that you go like that.
No, I know why you've gotten down the queue outside giving them banknotes.
You've all found your ways of playing the game, and Sheila's finding this particular way very effective.
I repeated deep freeze, too.
I know, and they were very kind. They let you get away with it, mm-hmm. Sheila. And as that challenge was not correct, you gain a point, Sheila. You keep the subject, and you have 45 seconds left for frozen food starting now.
It means you can do a month's cooking in advance, or if you have a party and you have some leftovers, you just put them in tin foil and shove them in the cupboard, which is frozen, and bring it out at a later date. I think it is questionable whether food tastes as good after it has been frozen, but nowadays things have to be convenient and therefore sometimes you sacrifice flavor. Anyway, food has been very deeply iced when you buy it from the shops, so I see that it doesn't make a great deal of difference if you do it yourself. Also, an advantage is if you have a lot of vegetables growing in the garden and a surplus, you can put them in this same place that I refer to.
That whistle, which Ambassador Blowsprose tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Sheila Hancock. In fact, no one else has spoken at that round except Sheila Hancock, so nobody else has scored.
Well, good advert for deep freezing.
And I would love to see a garden that has surpluses growing in it. The second round, we would like Kenneth Williams to begin, and the subject, Kenneth, is art. Can you talk to us about art for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, I think it was Ruskin who said it's that which lifts up our spirits in the aesthetic sense and makes the world a more beautiful place to be in. There is a functional school of philosophy which maintains that a power works should look like one. And there is another school that maintains...
Clement Freud is challenged.
Schools.
A repetition of school. Mm-hmm. One school of thought and the other one, I'm afraid. So that was a correct challenge, so Clement gets a point for that, and he has 39 seconds with art, starting now.
39 seconds with art could be said to be too long because of all the boring, tedious, and unintelligent people I have met. Art must be the epitome of sheer...
Yes, he couldn't think of any more adjective to describe art, and so he dried up. Kenneth, you have a point, and there are 21 seconds for art, starting now.
Well, of course, the most beautiful example of this can be found in the National Gallery, and it is called The Incredulity of Thomas. It is by a man called Giacchino, and it's interesting to note in his biography that he prayed every morning, which bears out the Michelangelo dictum that only a very moral man should be able to paint. And that is very beautiful.
Kenneth Williams' interesting dissertation on art gained him a number of points, in fact, two. And at the end of that round, he has 2 points, because he hadn't scored before. Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The qualities that make up the ideal woman. That is the subject. So can you talk on it, Clement, for 60 seconds, starting now?
The qualities that make up the ideal woman for me are silence, a complete adherence to the domination of man. Apart from...
Sheila Hancock is challenged.
The whole thing is very kinky.
I think, actually, Sheila, yes. Anyway, he paused, didn't he? The image was sufficiently devious for me to grant it to you, Sheila. And there are 45 seconds left, starting now.
Well, I think she should be about 5'8" tall, have nut brown hair, and be...
Kenneth Williams, a challenge. Why?
Deviation establishes this woman, ideal woman.
Yes, what about it?
Well, obviously deviation. She's no objectivity about it at all.
That qualifies. She can still talk about what she thinks should qualities would make up the ideal woman. She's a woman. She's entitled to an opinion.
How can a woman have any objectivity about that subject? Obviously, things should be handled by a man. You better give it to me. I'll discuss it.
You'll be saying in a minute we shouldn't have women on the program again.
Yes, there shouldn't be women on this show. Quite right. It's doing half the blokes out of work and it out of jobs. What would you all do with the money?
Yeah. I disagree
with your challenge, Kenneth, so Sheila has another point. And there are 40 seconds left, Sheila, starting now.
And she should be called Sheila Hancock. Lovely face.
Clement
long legs.
Deviation.
Why?
That isn't the quality.
A very clever challenge.
I thought 5'8" was little enough of a quality. Because Sheila Hancock was...
No, I quite agree. A clever challenge,
I
Clement.
I have to concede that I'm
37 seconds for the qualities that make up the ideal woman. Clement, back with you after your last thoughts, starting now.
Her eyes should be golden, and in her hair she would wear a bandana, and I would be there. Her teeth ought to be made of white pearly enamel, and her lips should be ruby red. Where's the neck?
Kenneth, it was a challenge. Why?
Your hesitation.
Kenneth, you have a point for a correct challenge of hesitation. 19 seconds left, starting now.
One that would observe that the man, of course, is superior. Understand?
Sheila Hancock's challenge that.
Total deviation.
Why?
Rot. The man, of course, is superior.
Yes,
no.
And he's entitled to say...
But that isn't a quality of a woman. Oh, yes, to believe that. It's an opinion,
in Kenneth
perhaps.
Williams' opinion, it can be a quality which he's entitled to express in just a minute. So he has another point, and there are 13 seconds left on the subject, Kenneth, starting now.
To accept the fact that she was the product of one of his ribs, as is written in the Great Book, and that on the seventh day they should both have a rest. And...
one of the loveliest thoughts of Ellen Justin.
They should both have a rest.
I'm in a cup of tea and aspirin.
I know, it doesn't matter. You just pause to linger on all the thoughts that idea conjures up with having that as a female quality, Kenneth. But anyway, that particular quality and thought took you into the lead at the end of that round, Kenneth. And, no, it's all right. It's Sheila Hancock's turn to begin, and we have another long subject. The qualities that make up the ideal man. So it's very apt, Sheila, that you should start on this one, and there are 60 seconds to go. Starting now.
Well, it wouldn't be like any of this lot, I can tell you that. I think the qualities that make up an ideal man are exactly the same as those that make up a similar woman. Because I don't think one should differentiate between the sexes. Humanity, compassion,
intelligence...
Kenneth
Williams, a challenge, why?
Or deviation. You have to differentiate between the sexes. Oh, goodness gracious,
in
me,
qualities...
we both look very different, dear. Haven't you noticed?
I'm talking about the qualities that go to make up the ideal one.
She was not, in saying it, deviating from the subject on the card, so she has a point, and she has 44 seconds left, starting now.
Intelligence, forbearance, a sense of humour, looking after your looks, but if you're not pretty, it really doesn't matter.
Kenneth Williams...
Look, this is obviously all about me, and I think it's quite wrong. It's quite wrong, you know, to draw attention to me in this way.
Listen,
it's my
Nicky,
turn next, and I've got to say it all over again.
He's obviously dying to tell us about his ideal man, so let him...
No. I very generously handed it to you, Kenneth, because she's decided that...
Go on.
She wants to know. So you have a point from Sheila, and you have the subject from Sheila, and there are 35 seconds left to tell us the qualities that make up the ideal man, starting now.
Well, they were all contained in that paragon I would call the most virtuous of contemporary figures, Mahatma Gandhi, who, without any kind of worldly ambition, sat in that dirty and adopted the diet and the regimen of the poorest of his people and set an example unequaled in nobility, in fortitude, and in humility for the rest.
Peter Jones challenged your dissertation.
Well, repetition of humility.
Yes, you did have humility before, and it was a good challenge, though, even though we were absolutely transfixed with a mood that you had created very cleverly as you talked about Mahatma Gandhi. 9 seconds for Peter Jones on this subject.
I agree.
Starting
I agree.
Now.
Honesty, zest, and humor, and enjoyment of life, which can be shared with the opposite number, whatever sex it might be.
Yes, something really.
The opposite number, whatever sex it might be. That was line was drowned in the applause, Peter. You got a point. For speaking when the whistle went, Peter Jones, you have crept up into last place.
I haven't been creeping.
Well, you crawled up into last place alongside Clement Freud,
yes,
who is 2 points behind Sheila Hancock, and she's 1 point behind our leader, who is still Kenneth Williams. And, Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. Stop making faces at the audience, Kenneth, and concentrate, because it's your turn to begin. The subject's Suetonius. Can you talk about it for 60 seconds starting now?
We've certainly written some very titivating accounts of the more decadent Roman emperors, and I was engrossed with the things he said about Tiberius in that swimming pool of his in the villa at Capri with all these other nudists larking about and these disgraceful paintings over the bed head, which I believe got him going something rotten. I think nowadays, of course, there would be a prosecution brought about it, but you could go about doing, roughly speaking, what you'd like, because you were thoroughly autocratic. In a way, it's pretty more that it don't go on nowadays. I'd like to
Sheila Hancock has challenged you.
Is he still talking about whatever was on the card? He's just generalizing.
No, I think that's a very good challenge. Yes, he's got off Suetonius and talking about what Suetonius wrote about him, which is, yes. You know, and what went on at that particular time. A very good challenge, Sheila. Everybody else was intimidated by his knowledge of the subject that they didn't challenge before. Sheila, you have a point. And 19 seconds for Suetonius starting now.
Well, there was this fella, Fred Suetonius, who lived in Rome in 64 B.C.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Deviation.
Yes, I agree. You said Fred Suetonius, who lived in Ryslip in 1768. He'd have got away with it. Clement has a correct challenge, and 13 seconds for Suetonius starting now.
There is a story which is almost certainly apocryphal about Suetonius, Tiberius, and Catalonius, who met in a lowly tea shop.
Kenneth Williams has challenged you. Why?
A deviation, because they could never have met anywhere. Suetonius wasn't alive in Tiberius's period.
This is why I said it was almost certainly apocryphal.
He did say that, you know. So he actually gains a point for that and has 5 seconds left on Suetonius starting now.
You see, I don't know your sense of humor.
Catullus, on the other hand, lived in a completely different century from that occupied by...
Well, Clement Freud was then speaking when the whistle went. He gained the extra point. And Peter Jones, your turn to begin.
Go
things
on.
That make me angry. Can you talk about some of those things in 60 seconds starting now?
They don't, really.
Kenneth Williams.
Meditation.
Yes, but he hadn't started. So he has another point. Things that make me angry starting now.
Haven't really been made angry by them because they're inanimate objects and you can't get all heated about things. Now, the people who make them, we are very fortunate in our area. We have a marvelous bakery where they sell crusty loaves. But on occasions when I have to buy bread that's wrapped and sliced, I am driven crazy by these huge lumps of stuff at either end. Why do they do it? To make us waste it. Nobody can eat it. It's all soggy and damp and very unwholesome. White. All the nourishment has been drained out of it systematically to make more money for the bakers. And the brewers also are not entirely innocent. If you go up and down the country drinking beer, as I often do, and I hope one day you'll all join me, I'd like to take you now. In fact, I could do it. But if
deviation, his enjoyment of beer drinking is nothing to do with making things that make him angry.
Yes, I'm afraid it will go.
If I have enough beer, I can get very ugly.
Thank you. Never twist, Peter, but too late. You had definitely gone, and you showed your anger in your face. It was magnificent, but you then got onto a very happy note, asking them all to join you for drinks. I agree with Kenneth's challenge. He gains a point, and there are 5 seconds left. Things that make me angry, starting now.
Anyone that interrupts my conversational flow, I could really scream at. I'd have to bash their faces in.
The Peter Jones has challenged you.
He said anyone, and it's about things, not people.
Well, those are the things that make him angry. I disagree with your challenge.
So everybody is going to win except me.
No, you're doing very well, Peter. And you have half a second, Kenneth Williams, on things that make me angry, starting now.
Put six behind me, drive me mad.
Kenneth gained that extra point for speaking. When the whistle went, he's now increased his lead, so he is now the outright leader at the end of that round. Clement Freud, your turn to begin. Subject, Tiddlywinks. Can you talk to us on Tiddlywinks for 60 seconds, starting now?
Tiddlywinks is a game which many people think is played solely by children, whereas, in fact, adults all over the country indulge in it. At most major universities, there are Tiddlywink clubs, and comparatively grown-up people stand around a blanket on which there's a cup and a number of plastic discs of different colors, the idea being to depress the larger tiddlywink with an even greater wink of yet a different hue and project it into the container placed in a prominently circular position.
Yes, I think there was a hesitation. 25 seconds for you on Tiddlywinks, Kenneth, starting now.
I once saw this play in a public house. It was in the East End of London. I was really quite attracted by it. I saw them flipping up and down. Oh, what a charming game. Did you win anything at it? Listen, no. Not in money, actually. I don't play for money. I'm sure you're going to make 5 pounds.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Reputation of money.
There's too much money flowing around that pub. He has a correct challenge and 9 seconds for Tiddlywink starting now.
I was requested not long ago by the faculty of Newcastle to come and be president of their Tiddlywink Society, a job which I accepted.
Clement Freud was then speaking when the whistle went. He gained the extra point, but he's still in second place behind our leader, who is still Kenneth Williams. Sheila's still in third place, and Peter Jones still in fourth. And Sheila Hancock, your turn to begin. The subject, inexperience. Can you talk to us from the wealth of your experience about inexperience, starting now?
Well, I am a very inexperienced tiddlywink player. However, I have a bash at it. I also am less experienced than the other members of the team at playing Just a Minute, as I only guest on it occasionally. However, I am lovable and I don't mind losing. I also...
Kenneth Williams, a challenge to
what? Well, it's nothing to do with lack of experience, is it? I mean, it's all to do with whether she's good at gamesmanship and things like that.
Of course,
totally devious.
If you'd had her for hesitation, I would have agreed. But to my mind, she'd firmly established that...
Give it to her.
No, she'd said she had less experience, which is more inexperience in Just a Minute than you others, and I think it was quite clear what she was talking about. And there are 42 seconds for you to continue, Sheila, on inexperience, starting now.
Actually, it is a quality that I think I find rather attractive. I don't like people who are cocky and know what it's about. I would rather see somebody slightly hesitant. I think there's nothing more endearing than a child who's not quite sure how to do something. And certainly as far as performers are concerned, there can be a great deal of charm in somebody who isn't glib and slick and stylish, which is probably the attraction of a lot of the pop artists today. And Peter Jones, as he so obviously pointed to himself to show us. I also think that Nicholas Parsons is the absolute antithesis of this. He is a very experienced chairman, and if I were to be in his position...
Well, she started with a subject and she finished with a subject. She gained 2 points. She said some very nice things. And thank you for the personal ones too, Sheila. And Kenneth, your turn to begin. The subject, difficulties. Something I think you know a great deal about. You're not always in them. You often create them. And Would you talk about them for 60 seconds starting now?
Well, the difficulties in my life largely consist in comprehending the mathematically monumental things. If they tell me the difference between 5 shillings and 8, I will, roughly speaking, know what they're talking about. But if they discuss millions and megawatts, then I am lost. The bicycle sheds that are built for the Nuffield workers can be understood. But the idea of an atomic reactor costing 30,000 million can't be understood
Clement
at all.
Clement Freud has challenged
Consequently,
you.
There is no way we can discuss this.
Clement has challenged you, Kenneth. Why?
Repetition of millions.
Yes, there was more than 1 million. And so, Kenneth, Clement has a correct challenge, and he has 24 seconds for difficulties starting now.
One of the great difficulties for me is flying a Harrier jet, because it has more levers and buttons, charts, gauges, wind vanes, and other instruments than I am able to comprehend. As a result, I go up and find it terribly difficult to come down. Many people will think this is an advantage.
Well, Clement Freud's difficulties, speaking when the whistle went amongst them, well, on the subject, gained him the extra point and took him into the lead alongside Kenneth Williams at the end of that round. It's still a very close contest. And, Peter Jones, your turn to begin. And the subject is, from difficulties, follies. Can you talk to us on the subject of follies, 60 seconds, starting now?
I am reminded of the famous ones that happened during the First World War, or perhaps even earlier, Harry Pellissier's famous follies, and the ones invented by Flo Ziegfeld at the New Amsterdam Theatre in New York in about 1905, 6, 7, and 8. And ran for many years after that, glorifying the beauty of the American woman. And many famous comedians took part in these follies. Will Hay was one of them, and W.C. Fields, and a number of people.
Sheila Hancock has helped you out.
Sorry, but he is hesitating, isn't he? He keeps saying,
Yes, he is, really. But Will Hay was never in the Ziegfeld follies, I don't think.
No, I couldn't think of the... that's why I hesitated, because I knew he wasn't.
I know, I could see it in your face, too.
Some other... Will Rogers, I
Will
think.
Rogers, oh, yes. Yes, right, yes. So, anyway, Sheila had you for hesitation rather than deviation, and Sheila have 18 seconds left for the follies starting now.
It is folly to be wise. I was once in the follies myself, and the opening number went...
Kenneth Williams, challenge you first.
Hesitation.
Yes, hesitation, and I must remind you this is the last subject to the show because we haven't any time at the end of this game. Follies, with you, 12 seconds left, Kenneth, starting now.
Well, of course, it would be ridiculous and foolish if I were to take all my clothes off in the middle of Piccadilly Circus. If, on the other hand, I
Sheila
did...
Sheila Hancock has challenged you, why?
Deviation, I don't think it would be foolish at all.
See-through briefs.
No, it wouldn't be a folly, it would be a misdemeanor.
It might be a folly if you got into trouble for it. So, I disagree with the challenge. Kenneth has another point, and there are 4.5 seconds left for follies starting now.
Once I committed one by being a fairy on top of the Christmas tree and spread light and joy of blessed season.
Williams was speaking then when the whistle went. He gained that extra point. He also gained points for his follies throughout that round. And as I said a little earlier, this was to be the last round in this week's show. So I must now give you the final score. As you might have guessed from the way things have been going, Peter Jones was just in fourth place. Sheila Hancock was only just in third place. Clement Freud was barely in second place. But undoubtedly this week's winner is Kenneth Williams. Hope that you have enjoyed this particular edition of Just a Minute, and from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.